Radio is about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Good morning, 7:05 on February the 25th. 530-605-4567 is our phone number. And, of course, you can hear us on KCNR1460.com on your computer, and you can join in the chat room as Indy Guy and Valerie are already here. Good morning, Val. Good morning, Indy Guy. We're ready to rock. And, of course, we've got Bad Bob with us.
And good morning, and good morning to my wife, who has the day off after she got up and looked at the computer and used some language I was unfamiliar with.
Is that because she forgot she had a day off?
No. She was trying the lack of. You may have noticed a distinct lack of snow in the vicinity.
Oh, the one that she kept talking about yesterday, how we were going to be inundated.
Everybody in the weather business talked about, and just proof positive that Mother Nature always gets a last laugh. The cold air is there, it's just sitting offshore. And as a military man, you know that no system ever behaves the way the designers think it will.
Well, no, here's what I really believe, is that there's two types of people that get, you know, in life that get paid, even if they're wrong. Well, there's three types, really. First one, of course, is politicians. They get paid, and they're wrong a lot of times. Second is weather people. And the third, of course, is people on the radio. Whether I'm right or wrong, we still get paid. Which is probably a good idea, because otherwise we would be living in Pakistan. But I am also joined by sunshine, sunlight, and an effervescent personality. Here she is.
Well, how do I take the Friday and do something with that? I need my headphones turned up a little bit, Bob. Hey, good morning. Wow. We are going to play you some snippets from last night's interview with the Rat Pack. I just have to share that with you, these guys. I swear I really thought that I was talking to Dean and Frank. They all, even when we were talking about them, who they are as actors, they have embodied these guys. They sound like them. They're all good friends. You obviously know they're on the road. They're a bunch of rascals, you know. Again, today we're looking at 38 degrees with a 70% chance of rain and snow, a likely chance of snow, as they say, and 20% slight chance of rain and snow tonight with a low of 27. Obviously, the temperatures have changed, dropped a bit from the prediction of yesterday. Saturday is going to be mostly sunny with a high of 40, and Saturday night frosts with lows down to 26. So, brr, that is cold weather. In the chat room last night, what we did is we went with the number system, and Valerie, you won the two tickets for the Rat Pack is Back. And I'll put that as well in the chat room. These are really good seats on the floor. And the show starts at 5 o'clock. So, again, I will go back to a former email. I put everything down on a piece of paper. And, again, we did the number system, and your number was drawn. So, in order of people emailing and putting their names in for the tickets. So, congratulations. Sunday night, we all get to see you at the Rat Pack is Back. And then again, of course, we're going to be running a snippet in a little bit. So much going on this weekend. If Sunday night doesn't seem to tickle your fancy, there's a huge thing going on with, of course, we love and support them and admire them. Billy and Patrick, the really big show at the Cascade Theater, and they've got a bunch of local talent. News has it that if it's sold out, Patrick's going to shave his head. So, you know, we're all that'll be fun. So if you see him running around town with the bald head, that means that
may be worth buying a couple of extra tickets just for that, because we like Patrick.
Yeah.
But to see him bald like that would be kind of cute.
And so, Valerie, how do I get the tickets? Why don't you come by the office here today or this morning, if you can't. If it's not convenient, what I'm going to do is I'm going to have Carl, who's going to be in a tuxedo. You can't miss him on Sunday night. He will be there. The doors open at 4. Carl probably be at 4:30, and there'll be other people in our party that he will be able to get the tickets to you there Sunday night.
I can do
that. Sunday, you know, early afternoon. Other than that, then come by this morning after the show. So anyway, how's everybody doing?
I think everybody's doing great. We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back. That, unfortunately, you know, that you know, we talk about good news, bad news, is that we don't have great news, but we're today and we hit the paper, which is unfortunate, but it's also it's true. What's going on with the housing market and crime? We're going to talk about that. We're going to be talking the marijuana situation again, the follow up on what happened up in Trinity County and in Hayfork, because we've got some other announcements, like the Walmart of weed is debuting in Sacramento. We're going to be talking about, again, you know, the Rat Pack, they were pretty cute last night. They're all into it. We're going to be talking about those topics that impact on us, but also some decisions Mr. Obama has made that could have a severe impact on the military. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Radio. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Phone lines here at 530-605-456. I mean, you can just call and say hello. We're streaming and chatting. The chat room's going for it. Jimmy's getting his hair cut. If his son passes his Air Force physical, he's going to get a buzz cut.
Oh, yeah.
Cypress Square Barbershop, Jimmy, just head on down there. They'll be more than happy to do that. Yeah.
You were there yesterday.
I was there yesterday. It was a great time, as usual. Somebody was on our show, went down there and got the haircut afterwards. He had heard about it, and he said he just had to experience it. And it is an experience. It's a good time. Okay, let's start talking about some things around the nation, my friends. And as soon as we do that, Linda's got a surprise for you. You know, in Wisconsin, I just want to talk about Wisconsin, and then I'll turn the show back over to Linda here. In Wisconsin, the senators still haven't shown up. There's 14 of them, and it's been, 2 weeks? They've been sending out the state patrol, and the state patrol goes to their houses and say, "Hey, is the senator here?" And they, "No, he's not here." And it's like, okay, well, they can't go in after them, and they can't arrest them. So at what point is the governor... Can the governor give them pink slips for not showing up for work? I mean, this has gotten to be such a thing. It's, you know, they're saying it's anti-union, and it's from what I've been reading, and I read something the other day. It said that not all the collective bargaining has been taken away. To say that they've taken away all the collective bargaining isn't true. I've got to research that more, but that's just part of it. But the other thing too is getting expenses under control. But that, of course, will happen. Anyway, you know, one of the things that's this weekend on a much happier note, because after, you know, we need to be talking about some other things that are happening here, right here in the River City, but the idea that Frank Dean, Joey, and Sammy are going to be here is big.
All right, well, let's just go back to that for a second before we roll into some heavy duty, like everything that's happening in our world right now, and of course, we were watching Fox News this morning, and, boy. Okay, well, on a happier note, let's talk about last night on my show and On the Spot with Linda Bott. We're going to run this now, and Valerie, congratulations. I got in the chat room that you're coming to the station after the show to pick up the tickets, and hopefully all of you who are coming will, or if not, come to the Red Lion Inn at about 7:30. We're having a first-come, first-served, no-host bar. Really wonderful hors d'oeuvres. You're turning it into a really swanky 60s club. The Rat Pack, I'm sure they're going to come by because they're in town, so why not? let's play this, Bob. Thanks so much.
I think when we play these bigger theaters, which I'm talking 2,000, 2,500 people, people are really enthralled with the show. People anywhere from teens to grandmothers, really enjoy the show. Whether they actually know the music like a younger generation probably doesn't, but I think our show has the blend and the magic, that the original guys had simply because we have comedy, we have some dancing, we have our, acting chops, we have our singing chops on stage, we have a great band, and we're trying to transport these people back into a time where, everything was just seemed like it was a lot cooler when, you know, you had a martini on stage and you're drinking on stage and maybe had a cigarette on stage. And I think we transport the audience back to that time and they come away feeling, refreshed and wanting more. I think the best compliment is that we wanted the show to be longer. We wanted to see more of you guys and that we actually thought you were the real guys by the end of the show was the ultimate compliment by an audience.
That is completely.
I think another thing that I like to hear is that we made them reminisce, brought them back, you know, to their memories, to their youth. So that's another thing that is important to me.
Well, there you go. And that is Brian Dupree, who plays Frank. Does it sound just like him? Oh, my God. Again, if you haven't bought tickets, they still will have a special ask for On the Spot with Linda Bott. You'll get 20% off. And I know that if you go online, it'll look like it's sold out. There are still some seats that are blocked, so they've removed them. We're trying to just have a great full house. I know that I think they've got about 1,400 seats sold so far. There's still seats left, and that is the Rat Pack is back Sunday night. We'll see you there. Okay, now, should we switch gears again? We're going to take a break after this, and then we're going to get into, let's just get into what's going on. Okay, Carl?
Well, you know, we are. But, you know, this thing with the, this has been a big event for us, for the Rat Pack. So we're quite excited, and we're excited that our friends are excited. So, Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460. Yeah, radio on KCNR 1460. The home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott, 7:23 in the morning on the 25th of February. This portion of the show brought to you by Lumberjacks. That's right, Lumberjacks. 501 East Cypress. Special on breakfast Monday through Friday. They have ham and eggs, chicken fried steak. They have New York steak and eggs. All of them at great prices. I tell you what, the best prices you're going to find in town for this quantity, this quality, the best prices. A local business, locally owned. That's Lumberjacks, 501 East Cypress. We go there and eat. I think that you're going to enjoy it, too. Now, we're going to go across the country. We're going to go quick. We're going to be talking about things that are happening. Let's talk about a judge stripped a Texas beauty queen. That's right. He stripped a Texas beauty queen of her crown because it seems like she was eating too many tacos. That's what it said. He had rejected a 17-year-old Dominica Ramirez's request for a court order to keep her Miss San Antonio and allowed the pageant to award the crown to first runner-up, Ashley Dixon. So Ramirez's crown was given to a girl named Dixon. Already, it smacks of something here. A two-week drama over the Miss San Antonio title. Heck, took on some aspects of a made-for-TV movie. He said his client had been rushed to the hospital by ambulance late on Tuesday, suffering from symptoms of pneumonia brought on by stress. The Miss San Antonio organization stripped Ramirez of her crown in late January, charged that she was late to personal appearances, took part in at least one modeling engagement not sanctioned, and gained weight by eating too many tacos.
Okay, I have to weigh in on
that. Okay, wait a minute. That sounds to me racist. That sounds to me like, what if she had said, well, eating too many hamburgers? No, tacos.
When you sign a contract, and that's what you do, I'm on this side too, having been there, when you sign a contract and you are representing a state or a city, there is a protocol. There are boundaries. It's like if you dance in Vegas, you are not allowed to go skiing. You can't go you can't leave. There's certain things you can't do due to injuries. When, if you're representing as a beauty queen, unless, or, you know, I hate to say beauty queen, that just sounds so, state representative or city representative as a Miss something, there are certain things you have to have a chaperone with you at any time you make an appearance. You can't engage in a personal appearance where you're holding the hand, you've got a boyfriend. If you have a boyfriend, you have a chaperone with you at all times. And you have to show up. There's ribbon cuttings. There's all kinds of ceremonial things that you must attend. And there are strict guidelines. If she was late, it looks bad for the pageant. It looks bad for the organization. There's several people involved with these organizations. So, you know, there's two sides to every story. This could be some attorney that's like, oh, she ate too many tacos. you know, the plus size women or the bigger women that want, okay, that's fine. There's pageants for those too, but if there's a protocol, what you came in as is the expectation of for you to be that same look for that year. So was she respecting those guidelines or was she not?
The commission here in California recommends rolling back pensions for current state local water or workers. California state and local governments should roll back pensions for existing employees, dump guaranteed retirement payouts, and put more of the burden for pension benefits on workers, a bipartisan watchdog commission said Tuesday. Any attempt to reduce pensions from current workers would prompt a legal battle, however. Still, the 12-member Little Hoover Commission concluded that the government pension funds are in such dire financial straits, they're never going to fix themselves while cutting into benefits. And that's a California commission, bipartisan commission. They're not too happy about it. You can see kind of what's going on in Alaska. And here's the last thing here is Governor Jerry Brown is telling legislatures he's going to push for a $25 billion cut in California's budget unless voters okay tax extensions. He says if that doesn't happen, he's going to go for the $25 billion cuts, and he will not sign the budget unless those cuts are in there. He's the first time in nearly 50 years that a sitting governor has testified before the legislature. He's talking to them. You know, Brown, you know what, Governor, at least you're trying here. At least you're trying. You know, yesterday we just heard that they cut $2.5 million out of the budget for the veterans. It's in the blog here on Reading.com, and we're talking about it. Let's go to the phones. Ed, good morning. You want to talk about pensions?
Yeah, well, you anticipated my question there, Carl. You hit the pension and benefits and Wisconsin anti-union movement. What's your position going to be when they go to cut military retirement and veterans benefits?
Well, they're going to. They have right now. But here's what I say.
Not significantly. You got some of the most generous benefits of anyone in the country. You got to admit that. The VA alone, medical benefits, are a great deal. So what? I mean,
Ed, are you using VA medical benefits? Are you using?
No, I am not.
Well, then how can you talk about how good they are if you're saying if you don't use them? How do you know that?
I don't have the option of using them.
That's right. And you know why you don't have the option, Ed, for not using them? Here's the thing:
have you ever paid for private medical insurance in your life?
If I worked for a civilian company, I would.
You've never paid your own medical bills in your life. Is that what you're telling me?
I've paid for my medical bills. Yeah, several times in my life. I've taken supplementary insurance. I pay for a lot of my medical bills right now, Ed.
Well, I paid them for my whole life.
Wait a minute. We're going on break, Ed. You can't leave yet. It's Friday. Carl Lindebach, KCNR 1460. On KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, it's Carl and Linda Bott. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming and chatting at KCNR1460.com. It's 7:34 in the morning on the 25th of February. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite. Doug Tooley puts in Dish Satellite, does a great job. He's a local guy. He's a veteran of the 82nd Airborne, 244-1988. He guarantees his work again. He is a local guy. He does great work at Dish Satellite. Okay, when we left, Ed and I were calmly discussing VA benefits. Hi, Ed. Welcome back.
I'm still here. Thank you for coming back.
Of course I would, Ed. You know what, Ed? You have a lot of good comments on, you know, when you call in here. I would never cut you off.
Well, that's not exactly true, but we'll go on.
Well, only if when we reach other.
Okay, only when you're out of time. Go on.
Only when we're out of time.
So anyway, my question was.
But let's go back to what you said, though. Let's talk. Okay, on a more of a rational basis, is there spots that you can cut in the Department of Defense? Yes, absolutely. I am convinced of that. But before you start cutting out VA benefits like they did here for Operation Welcome Home, which is what I was talking about. You know, you need to look at cutting everything else when you've got 30,000 vets coming in back to California a month. You know, there has to be a support network there. And before you cut that out, I would hope that you cut other things that have benefits to do with people that are here illegally you know, that there's commissions that could be cut out, that everything be looked at first. If you read my blog, this is what I said. I would hope that everything is looked at first before you have to start cutting back on veterans.
Well, Carl, my point is that I think you'll find in the near future there will be calls to cut the completely unfunded VA and military retirement benefits. Because unlike Social Security, unlike the underfunded pension funds of state and local governments, these are completely unfunded benefits, entitlements by the federal government. And if you think that they're not going to go after yours after they go after other people,
they've already started.
I think you're dreaming.
No.
And what are you going to say when they go after you?
Well, they've already started. They've started to go after the Trump.
No, they haven't. No one's gone after
you. You don't even know what you're talking about. The Department of Defense has already said that they want to look at raising the TRICARE and putting raising all the payments on TRICARE dramatically. And by the way, that military benefits, once you reach, you know, for medical care, when you reach age 65, it goes to Medicare. It doesn't stay in the military. Did you know that?
Well, that's right. And at that point,
did you know that?
You'll have to deal with the cuts in Medicare.
Right, and that's coming along too. But the thing is that I say is that you go anywhere else first to there's so many programs that you can go to cut before you go into cutting veterans' retirements who have spent 20 or 30 years of their life or have been medically retired, who have served this country. You can go to a lot of other places first before you go there.
My point is, Carl...
Don't you believe that?
Do you
think the veterans should be the first...
No. Have in the past.
Don't you believe that the veterans... I mean, do you believe that veterans should be the first on the chopping block?
No. And in fact...
Well, where do you think they should?
But you'll have your turn on the block. Trust me.
Oh, no. I understand that. I understand that perfectly. And there's a lot of veterans that say, yeah, you know what? There's going to be cuts. But there better be cuts everywhere else that makes sense before you just come after veterans.
Well, now, again, let me just make my point here. And that is that you spent a lot of time on this issue. The local papers have, and, of course, the national media, of pension benefits, local and national cuts in government wages and pension benefits. And I just want to point out that it isn't a matter of government workers and pensions being too generous. It's the result of 30 years of driving down workers' wages in this country and destroying the private pension system. It appears that these people are getting a great deal only because everyone else has already been taken out.
Well,
I'm just saying, if sooner or later, the people who have decided that the nation's wealth will go to them rather than people who work for a living are not going to exempt you just because you happen to work for the military.
Well, I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Okay, Ed,
well,
thanks a lot. Hey, Ed. Always welcoming you to our show. You know that.
Okay, and I'll give you a weather report. At 2,000 feet here, there's about 5 inches of snow, and it's coming down slowly at this point.
Okay, well, you know, they said we're going to have it all over the place, and it hasn't.
So I have plenty of time. I'm snowed in. I have plenty of time to listen to your show and get agitated.
Okay, well, get on the chat room. Get on the chat room and say, hey, Ed here.
Up.
No,
okay,
I think
I hang
out in the chat room with all.
yeah.
I get enough.
They've got your name in there, Ed. Right now, you need
chats.
To. Ed,
I see
you need to read
the chats of the commentary in your chat to know that I spend too much time.
Thanks
take
for
care
your
of yourself.
Call. Yeah, be safe. We got a couple other things going on here this morning. We've got Amy on the phone waiting. That has been waiting. And so let's go right to the phones. I'm switching the subject matter right now. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, guys. How are you on this great
Friday?
Great.
We're fine, Amy. How are you?
And, of course, some people are going to be snowed in. So let's talk about keeping fit. We're going to go from you to the Boat and RV show. So it's all about trying to stay fit.
Well, you know, hey, speaking about RVs, a lot of times when you're in your RV, you're traveling a lot. You may be going out to eat dinner or lunches in restaurants. So let's talk really quickly about some things you can do to stay healthy even when you're going out to eat. You want to know what you're going to that restaurant for. Is there a certain appetizer you like or a main dish or dessert that you like? You need to build your meal around that. So, for instance, let's say you knew there was a special appetizer someplace that you liked. Then if there's a high-fat or high-carbohydrate part of that appetizer, your meal needs to be very lean and green. And the drinks you should be drinking would be water. So you're going to build your meal around whatever you're eating. When I go out to eat, I usually try to get water with lemon. So I save calories there. And I always try to make my meal a lean and green. And that allows me to either have a little bit of a dessert, if I would so choose, because there's going to be my carbohydrate and fat in there. And then if I'm going to do that, I definitely will have an appetizer that's a salad. If there's a certain meal that you really, really like, then no dessert, and your appetizer is a salad, and then you can have a little bit more with that main meal. And I usually ask for a to-go box with the meal. Don't wait till you think you feel full. Get your to-go box the same time your plate comes to the table and split that meal in half. Take half of it home and have some of that to enjoy later.
There you go. I think that's great. And it's good. It's good financially too.
Oh, absolutely. You get two meals or maybe even more for the price of one. And this way you can still go out. You don't feel like, oh, I'm deprived. I can't eat the things that I want to eat or go to the places I want to go to. You just have to think about you're spending a certain amount of calories when you go out to eat. So you know what? They have those great booklets out. People are saying they don't want to look at the calories that they're eating. But you need to. You need to be aware to see what you're taking in. It's part of that responsibility of taking good care of yourself. I'm not saying you can't enjoy yourself. You just got to eat mindfully.
That's right. In moderation.
Exactly.
Everything in moderation, right?
Oh, Amy, exactly. Thank you so much. You
okay,
always, it's a reminder on Friday, especially before the weekend. If I have a hot fudge sundae, that means that I'm not going to have other stuff for 2 or 3 days or whatever. Like you said, calorie counting, split your meals, and that's perfect, especially when you're out on the road and let's say you're RVing, you know,
yeah,
which is going to be coming up next. But you've been listening to Amy Palko, who is a nutritionist and a trainer at Adamson's Peak Performance, and we really admire you, and of course, that's why we have you on here and all the folks at Adamson's. We're going to take a message. Amy, thanks for calling. Have a great weekend.
Yeah. And when we come back, Ron Gillis, from the producer of the big show this weekend, is here with us. He's trying to recover from the last 5 or 6 minutes. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Ed, it's not too late to join the chat room. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. KCNR1460.com is where we're chatting and where we're streaming. It's 7:45 in the morning on the 25th. The this
currently
portion
38
of the show.
Degrees.
Yeah, it is. 38 degrees, and it's snowing where Ed is.
I revved up.
Oh, well, it's pretty hot down here, Ed. Hop into the chat room. Okay, this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. You know, one of my favorite places, and I'll tell you why. Not just because of the service and Espresso Joe's and a great coffee, and that walk-in humidor is a knockout. Joe and Shelley support this community. They support the veterans. They support this community. They are some of our favorite people, and they provide a great service. They've been there for 35 years. They've been in this business for 35 years. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Our guest, who has been waiting patiently, he has gotten, you know, he's been chased out of the room twice by things being said, but he's back in here, and he's ready to rock here. This is Ron Gillis, who is the producer of the NorCal Boat Sport and RV Show. Good morning there, Ron.
Good morning, good morning.
I guarantee you, Ron, you're not going to have another interview like this.
No, this is unique.
So thanks for, like Carl would say, rolling in. Tell us what's going on with the RV and Boat Show.
Well, this is our 25th year doing this, and we've loaded up our show with a lot of great added attractions. First of all, we have the Northwest Trophy presentation, which is a grouping of some of the world record and state record deer, elk, moose, what have you. We also have the Splash Dogs, which are a jumping dog contest. They jump into a pool of water. The kids
did we enter elk killer in that?
Go ahead.
Okay, that's
Splash
our dog.
Dog.
Okay,
yes, we saw. Okay. Yes, we saw. Witnessed them last year, and that's really a fun event. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'd like to thank you guys for coming out and being judges of our contest. Last year, we understand you're going to be back this year, so
the
we look
Dutch
forward to that.
Dutch oven.
Oven
cooking. You know what? We were so astounded by the quality.
Pleasantly surprised.
I mean, it was just so good. People are cooking with charcoal briquettes in Dutch ovens, anything from chicken cacciatore to rack of lamb. I mean, my friends, if you've got a free day, come on out. Besides just seeing the great boats and other things, come by there and look at the Dutch oven cooking place.
Also, we have, as I said, the kids' trout fishing pond. We have the Iron Chef contest, which is also a contest we're going to have that weekend. And probably the largest selection of RVs and boats in the North State at this time. And we are the largest sports show from Sacramento to Portland, Oregon.
Oh, right.
Well, you know what?
We have this
fantasy.
You have
so many great things here.
I was telling Ron that we have this fantasy that one day we are going to get a toy box, and we're going to put the Harley in the back of the toy box, and we're going to take Free Fire Radio live on the road, which we can do. Bob would be here at the helm, but we could do that through, and we'll go to Sturgis, and we'll just like take the temperature, not literally, but you know, of Americans across the country, be like a week long, and we just would have a great time and be able to. Doesn't that sound like fun? I mean, that's what's great about our country.
Well, are you sure they're ready for you back then?
You know what? They'll get used to us quick.
I love it.
It would just bring on a little militia with us here. So.
Anyway, Ron.
Okay, we're talking about, you have RVs.
RVs, boats. Destination locations. If you want to go on a vacation, we have them from Canada, Alaska, Mexico, Costa Rica, and several others, too, in the states here and in the local area. We really promote local business and activities.
Well, you know, you're in the right spot right here for
that. Oh, absolutely. And we're in the best spot, in, as far as I'm concerned, the United States. I've lived here 72 years, and I love it.
Well, you know, we love it, too. You know, we came here about 4 years ago, and
that's
you
it.
Know,
we're dug in.
Once we saw Redding, we just dug in.
That's it.
We're like ticks in a fat puppy. So.
Well, you're doing a heck of a job here,
well,
I'll tell you that.
Thanks, Ron. And, well, what's happening in the RV? I mean, people don't shy away with the gas prices. If you can do it, you can do it. So let's talk about what happens with what's going on in our economy and what happens with. We still go on with the shows. If people still have fantasies and have dreams and still say, this is going to be a lifestyle.
Well, the folks that are thinking about buying an RV or a boat are usually in a position that they can afford it, and they're not really affected by this economy. Our sales over the last 4 years during the depth of this recession, the RV and boat sales have been tremendous. They have really been good. I'm not saying that they're record-type sales, but they are good enough that the folks that come in are happy with it.
You know, I think that we have talked with a few people who had CDs or the whatever was going through with the banking. They said, you know what, I can't take it with me. I'm going to cash it in, and I'm going to do something that I can do right now. And I'm going to enjoy the time left I have here, and I'm going to RV it across the country. I just think it's fabulous. So about how many would you say, you know, ish RVs and different types of sport utilities will you have on the premises?
Well, there will be somewhere around 75, all different types of RVs, and also cargo trailers and that sort of thing, bike carriers, so folks can come in that want to go to Sturgis and purchase a toy box or a box trailer.
Well, tell us the hours.
The hours are Friday noon till 7, Saturday 10 till 7, and Sunday 10 till 5.
Well, you know, we're going to take a quick break and just hang on here. We're going to come back. I'm going to talk about how many other, you know, what other kinds of events and also vendors you have there, because I know they've got a lot of kind of like cool vendors that will be there, too. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460.
The best stuff.
It sounds like the quiet time is
how
coming.
How about the best stuff happens at the breaks?
Yeah, 530-605-4567. We're all chatting and on KCNR1460.com. 7:54 in the morning on the 25th. You know, things are kind of quieted down. Wrong. We're going to be talking a bunch of stuff here in this next hour, too. But right now, we've got Ron Gillis here, the producer of the NorCal Boat, Sport, and RV Show. Who are some of the vendors that are going to be there, Ron?
Well, we have Phil's Propeller. We have the Department
local,
of Fishing
local
Game.
Local guys?
Local guys. Lee's Honda Kawasaki, Redding Yamaha Sea-Doo.
Right.
Redding RV, Cousin Gary's RV. Boy, I could go on for
we ought to have one of these
120.
RVs. We ought to get one of these RVs to, you know, we'll put a little wrap on it, and we'll take it across country. We'll be on the show all the time.
We wouldn't do that.
We'll do a CD, DVD form, and then they'll be, you know, nationwide.
We can have our friends.
Are you listening out there, RV guys?
This is like Free Fire Radio across America. Hello.
I don't know if they can handle that.
Yeah.
Okay, Ron, so how long have you been doing this?
25 years.
25
years, yes.
That's great. And it's the largest show between
Sacramento and Portland, Oregon.
That's super. And
yes,
how many people would you say come to this one?
Between 8,000 and 11,000, depending on the weather. We're always affected by the weather out here. But the folks in the North State are used to bad weather and clement weather, and they're going to come in.
Well, you know what? It shows on all the weather. guys are saying it's going to be a good Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But starting Monday again, we're going to start picking it up.
Sure.
So that's good. And, you know, I can't wait. You know, we get into that Dutch oven, and there's people in there saying in our chat room saying, I've got a Dutch oven. After we were in the Dutch oven contest, we went out and bought one.
But there's a difference between the new ones and the old ones. And I think there's a place out at the flea market that sells older pre-60s. And there was, I don't know.
There's something about the type of steel, the iron they put into it or something.
So you want to get your mom.
The new stuff doesn't have nearly the quality of iron.
Right. So you want to get the older stuff that dates. I mean, you know, you get what you get, but what you can get. But never put your cast iron. We won't even go there. But you don't ever want to put your cast iron in the oven and then walk away.
And you never want to wash cast iron.
Right. So you're an expert in this?
Well, I've been there. I'm not a Dutch oven cooker myself, but when we go packing and hunting, we have some guys who go with us that are very, very good. As a matter of fact, Paul Walter from Cottonwood will be on hand, and he has a very large collection of these Dutch ovens from that pre-60s time.
Well, you know, I think he was there last year. When we were there, you know, eating, and I tell you what, it was just the greatest food. I just hope there's not too many of them, because last year there were 10 in the cook-offs.
Was it just 10?
10 in the cook-offs, 30 meals. If you get like 15 in the cook-offs, that's 45 meals we've got to judge. At some point, you've got to have to bring in a wheelbarrow to wheel my fat little body out.
We can do that.
Yeah, well.
Well, you take
we have 12 entered already.
Oh, boy. But you know what? We want to share with our listeners, you guys, this is the greatest event in the sense that people set up their little camps, and they dress in costume, and they travel around, and they do this. They compete in this, and it's wonderful to see the gourmet food they can make in a little 7-inch or 10-inch Dutch oven.
It's just a great thing, and you're right. Some of these folks are characters. They come in period, and they really enjoy it. They're very much into it. And how anybody can cook a brisket, for instance, and make it come out like the
rack of lamb.
Rack of lamb.
Rack of
my
lamb.
Favorite.
And I tell you what, the two guys, and then they came
they
in.
Won last year.
They won last year,
yes.
I believe. We had to leave before they awarded because we gave them all our, because we're going into another event as we are this year.
This year, yeah.
So, you know, we got to eat all the food and then pick up all the styrofoam that had all the extra food in it, and we ran out.
Ate it for about 3 days. We did.
That's perfect.
Ron, when you're not doing this, what do you do?
I enjoy hunting, fishing, camping, RVing, and just enjoying life.
That's great. Well, that's super.
And you look like it, too. You look like happy and healthy and like you've been outdoors and you've got that, I'm doing what I love.
I am. I'm living a dream.
Oh, great. Okay. Now, that's going to be March 5th.
March 4th, 5th, and 6th.
4th, 5th, and 6th. I believe we have tickets for that.
Yes, you do.
And so the first person that calls is going to get two tickets. That's call 605-4567. You get a ticket, or you get a pair of tickets to the NorCal Boat Sport and RV show.
And you might want to, you know, like I said, there you go. You might want to come out on that 5th and see, I guess it starts around 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, the Dutch oven cook-off.
You might, if you have anything to say with it, if you have a lot of them to start maybe a little bit earlier then.
Hey, yeah.
Seriously, because, I mean, we have to get rolling. But
we
if
have
you
to
start
wear
it,
costume
yeah,
that night.
So if you have to start around 12, that would be great. Okay, we have 30 seconds left. Ron, thank you so much. The producer of the NorCal Boat Sport and RV Show, largest one up here in the North State.
That's all right.
Okay, when we come back, we're going to be discussing the latest in the wars in the Trinity County and marijuana. Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.
Guests, those of the staff, management, or advertisers, reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. Our phone lines here are 530-605-4567. And we're streaming at KCNR1460.com, and we have our chat room filled with people that we like and that have great comments. And it's 8:05 in the morning on February the 25th, and it is, I can't see what temperature is. What, 39 degrees? Is that about right, Bob? And tell us what's going on out there, because this looks really strange out there on our weather radar.
If you've got IntelliCast or Weather Channel on one of those, take a look at the radar. This is a pattern that you will very rarely see. Basically, the rain is outlining the upper Sacramento Valley north of us and east of us. Heavy snow. Not much to the west, though, so it's really my wife has been in the business for a very, very long time forecasting weather, so this is a pretty weird system. So there's no conspiracies here. It's just an unusual weather event, and we didn't get the snow that.
What do you mean, conspiracies? Mean like chemtrails?
Yeah.
That. All right. Okay. We'll talk about that later. But let's go to the phones. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Linda,
how are you?
Good. About yourself?
You know what we're doing? You know what we're doing? Great. It's
yeah, got pretty heated there. Yeah. I'm just,
You know what? And anybody that listens to the show knows I'm pretty, really, pretty level about everything. Everybody gets their shot here. Everybody gets to talk. But something about you vets. When people start saying, "Well, you vets have got," it just kind of like, you know what? I've been in too many situations. I've seen too many people get hurt. That when people start saying you vets, it's. They're trying to equate a veteran with a person that works in an office, essentially. And there's things that it's like apples and oranges. You can't do it. I'm not saying is that everybody is going to have to feel the pain, but a lot of times the veterans and those people in the military have been feeling the pain a long time.
Long time, yes.
So anyway, okay, I'm sorry. Anyway.
I'll say thank you for your service, and the vets ought to be the last place they make cuts. The politicians' pay and medical and retirement ought to be the first place, since they're a major part of us getting into this mess. And we have a fifth-wheel toy box trailer, which we've enjoyed quite a bit. So it's worth having.
Oh, boy. I just think.
We've thought about that, down the line someplace. It's kind of like travel around and see this great nation again.
Yeah, it is. It's a good way to see. You can stop wherever you want.
No,
lunch.
Like we said, we're going to probably, I think maybe next year, we'll take, we'll do a 1 week road trip where we'll be live.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll report what's happening with, across America or to Colorado or wherever. Maybe the Four Corners, like John said,
Do a Charles Corral thing.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about this all week since Carl started on Monday and Tuesday about the things going on in the Middle East and the oil and everything. How would it be if we drilled in our own backyard in Alaska and Colorado? And that way we wouldn't have to depend on these Middle Eastern countries for oil, and they can do what they want to do.
Well, I think that's a great idea. I think that we do have... See, we have the assets right here.
Yeah.
And yet in 1972 and 3, and I think you remember this, Bob. I don't know if you're quite old enough to remember, but...
Yeah, I am.
But, the part about this is that we had problems right then. We had the oil turned off, and we became panic-stricken, and we had lines and all these things. And then, so people say, we can't depend on foreign oil. That was 1972 and 3. Since then, we haven't built any nuclear power facilities. We have continued to be, rely so heavily on oil. And here we go again with, one of the major oil producers of the world in a fist fight, and reformist or whatever you want to call them, protesters are taking over parts of the oil fields and the refineries. The price of gas is going up dramatically. The price of oil is going up dramatically. And what have we learned?
Apparently nothing.
No.
Well, I think we have learned, but there are politicians or some kind of power play. I don't understand it.
Neither do I.
I'm just going to sit here and drink my Special Joe and pay my bills, I guess. Listen to the rest of the show. So.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Bob. We sure appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Okay. Hey, look, John, we got you on the phone. We're going to come on back to you right after this quick break. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. KCNR 1460, the home. Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. 605-4567. We're chatting and streaming on KCNR1460.com, 8:12 in the morning.
Okay, I promised I was going to talk about this just for a second here. Saturday, February 26th from 10 to 4, all about women. Free admission and door prizes. This is Shasta District Fairgrounds.
There's going to be over 85 booths, including exercise, chiropractic, health, and Medicare. This is sponsored by the Seroptimus of Anderson. And, of course, we want to get you out there. It's all about Women, Home, Health, and Hobbies Fair this Saturday from 10 to 4.
Okay, let's go to the phones. John, good morning.
Good morning, Carl, Linda, Bad Bob, and the missing guest.
Well, you know, I think, you know, we're kind of concerned that they got stuck up there someplace in the Trinity.
Well,
I mean, they're up in Hayford.
Well,
you know that weather's bad.
Yeah, it's bad up there. So, we're going to give them a call afterwards just to make sure they're okay.
Hopefully they didn't get hijacked by future growers.
Well, that was the other thing I was thinking, too. They're coming because last time they were not afraid to roil the water. But so
that's not as big a joke as I'm saying there.
Yeah, I know. What I mean. And, you know, if they're up there bringing light to a otherwise dirty area, that you know, that could, may not be the most safe.
Well, listen, you know, anyway. I got a little upset about your call from Ed, and I think people who advocate breaking the contract with veterans who fought for the supremacy of the United States is not the solution to an economic meltdown in the country caused by bankers, brokers, traders, and traitors. The military, being an autocracy and kind of directly ruled by people moving up the line of chain of command, respond as ordered to military situations that this country requires them to do. In the process, they get injured. In the process, they get traumatized. In the process, they make this country as great as it is. The contract they received when they went into the military was that they would be taken care of for taking care of the country. And people who advocate otherwise, I'm sorry, they're just fools and obviously haven't served. That's it. That's really all I got to say.
Well, John, thanks for your comments. And, you know, the thing about it is you'll never hear me saying that you can't cut waste out of the Department of Defense. You know, there's things out there that, you know, I think it was like the $100 hammers and all that. But before you get to the people that are the military, their families, their what they've, you know, what's happened to them over the years, whether it's a 30-year career or a 4-year career or a 2-year career, as in Vietnam, before you start going after the people, you better have made sure that you've done everything else before that, before you go after the ones that put it on the line. And just like you said, and I don't understand a concept that says, well, you know, you know, people that work in government, they get in, you know, they have pensions too. You know, they're being cut out. Why shouldn't you? It's apples and oranges.
It really is.
And I think that people don't understand, it's kind of like you said, is that unless you've kind of been there, it's hard for people to understand. It's only been 7% of the people in the United States are veterans.
That's it. And military waste is one thing, as you indicated, the $100 hammers and stuff like that. But, you know, certainly there is military-industrial complex adjustments that can be made to that defense budget. But VA benefits, that's just ridiculous. That is the contract that the military provides so that the troops will do their job, and they do it well.
Well, John, thanks so much for your phone call.
Thanks, John.
I'm passionate about this. I just think, I can't believe that people can even go there.
They do because, again, it goes back to, you know, not really quite understanding. You know, I read one of the comments, I think it was yours, that the VA clinic here in town is just outstanding.
It is outstanding.
And it is. But we can't forget is that they were sending 80-year-old cancer patients. They were on the road for 6 hours,
Sacramento.
3 hours down to Sacramento for the procedure, and then 3 hours back, and they had to stop because they were nauseous. And, you know, the thing is that that's not right. You know, that's not right. These guys from World War II or Korea and now the Vietnam era, they're, you know, having to travel and do these things is not right. So when people seem to think that there's some kind of gold-plated
darn good. I'll tell
it
you
is.
That.
It is good, but it's a type of thing that it's it can be better. And we're just blessed here in Reading to have this kind of attitude.
I'm blessed.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, you know, some people argue with me about that, but you know, there's been a lot of other ones that have been a lot worse than this, and this one, you know, can set kind of the standard. Anyway, John, thank you so much.
You guys have a nice day.
Thanks.
You have a great weekend.
Okay, Jim. Good morning. Jim, are you still with us?
I'm still here.
Hey, Jim. Okay, you're up.
Great. Hey, yeah, first thing I just want to say real quick is I can't believe that politicians don't cut some of their own benefits before they cut military benefits. But what I did call to talk about was Gaddafi.
Okay.
I heard a report today that he gave a radio address, and the guy translating it said he's heard a lot of these addresses over the last 20 years, and he said Gaddafi was speaking very erratically and saying just really off-the-wall things like Al-Qaeda and America are putting hallucinogenic pills in people's coffee over there, and just this really, I mean, weird, off-the-wall stuff. And they're saying that he's going nuts. And I don't think that this situation over there is going to get any better because they said also he has enough money to hire some of these mercenary and rogue outlaw armies they have over there in Africa.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you know, I think you're right. You know, here's what I've got in the latest. I had somebody send me some stuff. And, you know, the fact is that he is hiring mercenaries. It looks like he's still got control of Tripoli. And not, you know, part, it looks like some army elements have left him. But a lot have stayed. But with his with the mercenaries that he's bringing in and his own strong militias, if he maintains on Tripoli, and now you know, what I kind of got a Stratford type of briefing thing last night was that he's kind of starting to head to Tobruk and a couple of other the coastal towns. So he's not going to give up. And I think the only way you're going to see Gaddafi fall is if they get to him, and or they've got to get to people around him. You know, unless it's overwhelming force that was brought in, and I don't see that happening right now. And as far as what you know, he doesn't care what the rest of the world says. He doesn't care.
Yeah, he's nuts. And now, all this strife in the Middle East, in that part of the Middle East, I'm not talking about up in Iraq, down in the on the African continent, and Yemen, and all those countries that are having these protests. Is that why they say the gas price is going up? I'm a little vague on that.
Well, I think what it is that right now that in Libya, they produce 1.5 million barrels of oil a day. Their production is down like 400, 500,000 barrels a day. Speculators are looking at with now that some of the protest groups or whatever you want to call them, revolution, whatever it is, have taken over part of the oil production facilities. So they're looking at that as, you know, oil production stopping or it could just destroy it. So, you know, of course, speculators are jumping into this. You've got Egypt, which is in turmoil. You've got Yemen, which is in turmoil, both on both sides of the Suez Canal, even though that not a tremendous percentage of oil goes through there. Still enough. And I think people are just getting, you know, they're getting scared. And so that's why the price of oil is going up. It's up, I think it's over $100 a barrel now, and it's rising.
Yeah. All right, folks, well, I'm going to get off, and I'm going to listen to you on the air then.
Oh, okay, thanks a lot. Okay, we've got to take a break. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, the Carl and Linda Bott, 8:24 in the morning on February the 25th, 2011.
This portion of show is brought to you by Mike's Music. Cypress Avenue, Mike's Music, and Sound, 243-3774. Please go and check out. They've got rehearsal rooms in the back and pianos and guitars and everything. It's the experts showing you how to play musical instruments, Mike's Music.
Okay, you know, we were talking about the price of oil in the Libya and the oil fields, but it appears that since Gaddafi hasn't fallen, and it appears like that, you know, that the oil fields themselves have not, you know, been damaged, that the oil prices have started to fall too. So, hey, you know what? They went up, and they said they're starting to fall, but we'll see, because you know the situation in the Middle East is not over. And again, we need to take this time and this opportunity in our country and take a good look at what we're trying to do. Is how dependent on foreign oil do we want to stay? You know, we've had callers earlier. We've got it right here in our country. We can drill. We can provide ourselves with power from within, and at least long enough, you know, as we supplement other oil that is brought into the country, and as we build a nuclear energy. And you know what? It's going to take a lot of It would take a lot of facts for somebody to show me that nuclear energy is not safe and that it can't be used. It's being used in Europe all the time, and they're saving billions and billions of dollars on energy cost. Okay, we're time for Ed Part Due. Ed,
well, I'll try to be more brief this time.
Welcome back, Ed.
Yeah, well, you know, I'd feel more welcome if I didn't have shots taken at me after I get off the phone, you know.
By who?
I think if you play the tape back, you'll find at no time did I advocate cutting veterans or military benefits. What I said was a warning that once they take out the private pensions, once they take away government employees, teachers, firemen's, cops, retirements, and health care benefits, they'll go after the military. And it's not because they don't like you. It's just because their money is there.
Because we're next.
Because you're expensive.
Because we're next.
Pardon?
Because we're next.
Yes. And so, you know, it's hard enough to argue my own positions, but don't put words in my mouth. And if someone calls in, I think you know better than this, Carl, when he said that I called to advocate cutting benefits, I think you could have put him straight.
Well,
I don't think I was that unclear when I called in earlier.
Well, I don't put people... here's a couple of things. You have the right to call back, which you have, and you've straightened. You said, hey, look, that's not what I said. I'm defending people's positions. I defend my position and what I say. The fact is the part about... You were talking about the goal, you know, the benefits we have, and it's, you know, we're not paying for it and all that. You did say that.
Well, you did say that, right?
And you did say that. You know, we're getting all these benefits.
It's a fact we're unfunded. I didn't say you didn't deserve them.
Well, but the fact is that the way you brought it up, that is what started it off. And probably it piqued me right then. It probably, when you said something like that, I got a little bit, you know, probably a little more interested in how it was being said.
Again, you could argue with what I said, but I didn't. You can't argue with what I didn't say.
I didn't say
that you should cut these benefits.
I didn't say that.
I'm saying that the situation now is we've cut everyone's wages and benefits, but a few special classes. One of them at this point is government employees, and I don't argue that. One group of government employees that are not being called, that very few people are calling for substantial benefit cuts now, are military.
Well,
I don't think you should expect that to last.
I don't think so either.
The low-hanging fruit of beating up on teachers and utility employees are gone.
Well, you know, here's the thing is that it's already started. I mean, if on my blogs on the Record Searchlight, I've talked about how DOD has proposed, and this is DOD, has proposed that TRICARE, that more money be, that people pay more into TRICARE and that other things happen. I just know is that right now, and this is fact, that trying to find doctors in Reading and in many other places that take TRICARE is very difficult.
To find. You mentioned Medicare. It's going to be difficult. You mentioned you have to transition to Medicare. It's very difficult to find doctors willing to take new Medicare patients in Reading now.
That's right. And so it's the same thing with...
Because the payments are so low.
Yeah, well, it's the same thing with TRICARE. And so, and then when you switch the military over to TRICARE, when they hit age 65, it just gets worse. Okay, we got 30 seconds left. Ed, I appreciate you calling back. And
right.
We do, Ed, you know we appreciate your viewpoint. You know, we don't always agree.
I just think you ought to take the time, because, you know, that's a pretty nasty mischaracterization. I don't know the guy. That's the name of John who called up.
But that's why you can call back and you're on now, so you can say it straight.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, when something like that, I think what I said...
We've got a break. It's 30 seconds.
Far enough that you
see
can...
ya, Ed. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Press Radio.
Fox News Radio. I'm Ron Flatter. The Saudi student accused of including former President George W. Bush on a list of possible bombing targets has pleaded not guilty in Texas. Among the claims made by the FBI about Khalid Al-Dasari,
he researched how to turn a regular cell phone into a remote detonating device. In fact, he also bought, according to the Justice Department, a hazmat suit.
Our 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, 8:34 in the morning. It's the 25th of February, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue. I was just down here yesterday. I had a great time talking about manly things as we got our manly haircuts there. And it's a DC and Tim and a Man in Black. Great guys. They give discounts to veterans, support our community. They have great prices, and it is not a styling place. It is a barbershop, and it's man's last stronghold.
Currently 38 degrees, and we're looking at rain and snow, likely, with a low tonight of 38. I mean, a high today of 38, low tonight of 27. We have some moody weather on our way, I would say. And we did have some guests scheduled. They were supposed to be coming over from Trinity. I think they probably got lost in the way, or not lost, but had to pull over. Who knows? Bob's got the radar going on there, and it's the weather fronts are moving through quickly. Hey, you know what I was thinking, Carl, with what's happened this morning on this Friday with all the, you know, the chatting and the calls and everything, is that we just kind of live out loud.
I mean,
even when the mics are open, the mics are open sometimes. You know, I mean,
yeah, we do that sometimes.
We've got a switchboard that just sometimes doesn't click them off. We try the clue, you know, and so we're not hiding here. I mean, you know, we're on the street. You can't believe it when we're at the grocery store. You know, wherever we go, we meet people, and they say, "I listen to your show," and we start to talk about things. And I mean, we're just. It is what it is. It's kind of like we're family.
Well, first of all, we really, really appreciate all of our listeners and you guys in the chat room. And there's some of these things here. I would love to have seen what Linda was doing during the exchange. She was bouncing up and down on her toes. She was punching left, punching right, you know, covering up with a couple of headbutts. And I tell you what, she's right here with us. Now, okay, one of the things I want to talk about here is the Record Searchlight front page. Let's talk about that. Oh, by the way, first of all, before we start that, Ed and everybody, if somebody takes a position that that other people call in and they comment on, I'm not gonna defend somebody. I mean, that's what the phone calls are, you know, to come back, and that's what Ed did. He came back and said, "Hey, I didn't say that," and you know, and so unless it's something really specious, like you know, this guy is molest ducks or something like that, that I know for sure that wasn't even said, you know, then we'll get into it, but. Open line is that, you know, call in, people don't, you know, they don't agree. They don't agree on things. So that's why they're here. We ask people to call in, you know, as because it's an open line show, and it's just here to express yourself. And so while I'm going to express myself right now, I look at the Record Searchlight front page. You know, we went on air the other day and said, a few weeks ago, and said, you know, it can't just be bad, bad, bad on the front page, because believe it or not, people that are thinking of moving up here or thinking of moving their businesses here, one of the ways they do it is they go online and they look at things. Now, if they listen to our program, they see that, you know, hey, we're pushing our community, that there's a lot of success in our community. Record Searchlight does that, too, up to a point. But if you look at today's paper, Reading home values drop 10%, violence on rise. Well, then the other ones, roundups to target fewer wild horses and burros, which has a lot to do with us. And then on the local page, construction law puts businesses on edge. Let's talk about this. You know, that the latest rise and fall of homes in the U.S. metro area, that home values in the greater Reading, which includes Anderson and Shasta Lake, fell 10.818% over the last 3 months of 2010, which puts us at the second highest depreciating U.S. market in the fourth quarter in 2010. We're right up there with Reno, Nevada, and Prescott, Arizona, and Boise, Idaho. That's kind of a surprise. Lake Havasu, Coeur d'Alene, Phoenix, Yuma. Believe it or not, the 10 fastest coming up, appreciating. Bay City, Michigan, Monroe, Louisiana, Sioux City, Iowa, Saginaw, Michigan, Fargo, North Dakota. That's a little interesting. But let's talk about something else too. Violence. And it appears on the front page of the paper that crime's up as police struggle with cutbacks. Is that what it is? Is it crime because we have less police on the streets? Is the crime going up? Is it because of the economy? Is it tied together? I believe it's got to be tied together. You can't have one without the other. With the economy being as bad as it is, and we are cutting back on police. And overall, Part 1 crimes, which includes violent crimes as murder, rapes, robberies, and aggravated assaults, inched just above the long-term averages in 2010. There were 3,831 Part 1 crimes reported in 2010 compared to a five-year average of 3,632. Okay, it's a little bit above that. The question is it the lack of police? Is it the lack of jobs? If we had more jobs in the area, if we had an economy that was stronger, would we not be seeing this? If we had maybe a little bit different rules on drugs, are we putting too many people in jail for drugs? Not enough. There was a letter to the editor the other day that said, my son is getting out of jail. They sent him back to Reading. They sent him back with $250. He has a room for one night. There's nothing there to help him. I'm not sure about that. There's nothing there to help him. He'll be going back to jail, I'm positive. So we've put people in jail for 3 or 4 years. They come back here, because they'll send them back here. And where do they go then? Do they go back on the streets? Do they go into your homes? A lot of things, you know, so many things are being tied into this, is that it's just, is it going to take a policeman on every corner to drop the crime rate? Or is it going to take a concerned citizenry to get back into it? And we're going to talk about that after this break. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460. Well, welcome back to Free Fire. Carl Lindebaugh, good morning. It's Friday morning. 605-4567 is our phone number, and KCNR1460.com is our chat room, and we're streaming on that. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Lumberjacks, that has Monday through Friday. They have available Monday through Friday. They have a pick and pair lunch, soup and salad combos, and soup and sandwich combos, and salad and sandwich combos, ranging from $6.99 to $7.99. We're talking French onion soup, grilled turkey melt, grilled chicken Caesar salads, you name it, they have it. And it's at very, very, very good prices, very good portions there. And it's 501 East Cypress. That's Lumberjacks, local business, local people that own it. They have incredibly good food. Okay, we're talking about what's going on. You know, when you hear, you see the front page about things that are somewhat negative, and we'll finish this one up. But you know what the police are saying is that they're trying to offset it with technical things, which is good. You know, and some of the technical innovations and computers, and where people don't have to have an officer there, they can turn in a report of a property crime, which might steal your bicycle, or somebody in our case maybe come by and hit our car in the while we were driving it and then left. Things you can just report on that. It gives them ways of pulling up information, so that helps. But they're losing people. They've got less investigators, and the crimes are going up. There's no doubt about it. But if you look at the kinds, they're looking at homicides are staying the same. Rape has gone down, but robbery has gone up. Aggravated assault has gone up. Burglary has gone up. Larceny has stayed about the same, and vehicle theft has gone up a little bit. So it's things like that. Property crimes, people wanting money. You can't have a low economy. You can't have people that are unemployed and expect everything to stay the same. And now the question is this just the start of it? What happens for the rest of the year? Because our economy is going to be staying somewhat like this. If not getting stagnant this way, and the police numbers, are we going to be able to bring the police numbers up? Are there going to be some kind of grants coming in that they use? And the other thing too is with the vehicle licensing fees, if that goes away in June, there's I think $700,000+ taken away from just the police, $1.3 million taken away from the sheriff's office, and I think a total of $3 million taken away. Sheriff, police, and the paroles, the paroles group, the ones that do the check on probation and all that. Everybody's going to get hit. So we got to stand by for some heavy rolls here. Now, one of the things we can do is get involved. Is our police and our sheriffs really have to come reach out there and say, look, we need to activate that city, the neighborhood crime watch, the people calling in. This, they both said this. The best way of helping control crime is people calling in. People calling into the police and the sheriff. Well, maybe it needs to be a little more organized. That they do have some organizations. Maybe we need to really pump that up, where that we've got neighborhoods. We've got everybody that's looking around going, hey, this isn't right, and they're calling the police. The police can't be everywhere, but we can. The citizens can be everywhere. We as citizens owe this to our community. is to help fight this during this time of trouble. And we're going to talk about this later on, too. Okay. What else is going on here besides... go on.
Well, this weekend on BoomerTech, we're going to be having Ruben Porras, who is a local artist and entrepreneur, and we're going to be talking about, you know, social networking, not as a person-to-person tool, not as a business-to-business tool, but as a community-building tool. And I think it's going to be a very interesting show because it kind of adds another whole dimension to that as a promotional tool to build Reading as a community using the new mediums.
Well, you know, you talk about the new technology. You know, right now the big thing, too, is cameras. Cameras in cities. That cameras in cities being located at different places so that they can watch areas and they've got a board back in the police department that they can watch things happen right then. You know, we use it along the borders. We were using them in Iraq all the time. I'm sure they're using them in Afghanistan. That you put cameras out there that are very, very good cameras, high definition. You can see things going on. But then there's, you know, there's a lot of times people are saying, well, you know, what good is the camera going to do? Well, it keeps a record of things. Two, it, you know, that you can watch and put them in high crime areas and that you can get an early start. You see things starting to happen, like people starting to congregate and this, and you can call your officers in. But other people are saying, wait a minute, some people think it takes the place of an officer on the beat. No, it doesn't take the place. It can't take the place. But what it can do is it can assist police just by putting cameras throughout the city. In London, I think that they've got cameras everywhere. And this is the way they captured things happening afterwards, of course. It didn't stop it happening before. But they do have records of it, and they do have, you know, early warnings in some areas. So what do you think? Would that help? What if we put cameras there? Now, the one thing that does then is, there goes some privacy, my friends.
The potential for misuse is staggering.
Well, it's just like the potential for misuse in the Patriot Act. You know, that people are coming in and having roving wiretaps so they can listen to what you're saying. If there's a word said that all of a sudden that software picks it up and it wants to listen to what else is going on. Cameras. Can you picture this? You know, cameras down. You know, you've got stoplight cameras. Well, what if you had cameras down on California and Placer Street, looking up and down the street past Johnny's and down there... toward the bus station and all that. Have we reached that point yet?
I feel that a cohesive community that cares about each other is going to do more than any piece of technology. And speaking as a technologist, I think that will do more to make our lives better than any piece of technology ever will.
Yeah, well, nothing does. But, you know, one of our people just said, having been in a room monitoring these cameras, we were so busy, we never looked at them unless someone told us there was something going on. And there are traffic cameras all over the city, but, you know, I'm not sure. Does that mean that traffic cameras that, you know, at lights, you know, those traffic cameras shooting up and down the street so you can see what's going on? I don't know. And another comment is, camera big bro eyeballs. Do we really want those on every corner? The risk is more alarming than the benefit. Very good point there, you know it. We've got to take a break here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
No, I won't back down.
Welcome to KCNR, and this is our Friday, 8:54 in the morning, currently 39 degrees. This last portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew and Hilltop Drive. Don't forget Espresso Joe's, all your coffee needs for the weekend. I know my folks are coming up for our show on Sunday night, but the Rat Pack is back, and of course we're going to go today and buy those special coffee beans that are great when you've got company. Okay, the Sacramento Kings, you guys, we're going to talk about that for a second. Unless you're a lobbyist or cowbell retailer, there's not much reason to prefer living in Sacramento over Southern California. It now appears that two of our state capital's most prominent residents, Joe and Gavin Maloof, are coming around to just that conclusion. It seems the principal owners of the Sacramento Kings, the Maloofs, are reportedly thinking of packing up the team and moving it southward to Anaheim. Now, I know a lot of people here love the Kings, and they travel back and forth in a day or a night. So whatever that happens to be, it seems that the Hoops Mad Southern California could become home to the third league franchise. Now, why would the Maloofs consider ditching Sacramento? And this is the big question, because they want a better arena seems that the arena, they feel, is becoming more obsolete. So I'm just thinking that, you know, Sacramento is kind of up in arms, like what happens if we lose our major league. I don't know. Love to have your weigh in on that. It's kind of like this, the Reading Convention Center. Some people think it's just, you know, they're not doing the upgrades and retrofitting and making it so it's fabulous. Some people are saying tearing it down. So they're kind of going through the same thing with Sacramento. They're looking to have the luxury suites and all, you know, the things that make a really great killer franchise and a league an incredible place, an incredible experience. And I don't know what's going on in Sacramento, but why they're not.
Well, I think it's, you know, they fill up the arena all the time. So maybe they want a bigger one so they can make more money. That's one thing, I'm sure. But the other one is maybe they don't like, maybe they think living down in Los Angeles is going to make their players happy because there's maybe more to do, and there's it's more lucrative to them. I mean, you know, people paying the bills. Maybe find a Sacramento that they can pick up another $5, $10, $15 million a year, because you know the whole thing is about money. It's not about the fans. I hope y'all don't believe it's about the fans. Okay, maybe the Green Bay Packers. I mean, I don't ever see them moving, or you know, and people are talking about the Oakland Raiders. I don't see the Oakland Raiders moving, but.
So you got in LA, you've got the Lakers and the Clippers. So
yeah, already
make
so
LA, Southern California, the hoops capital,
right? Yeah. So again, it's a money thing. It's a money. It usually is.
It'd be all about the Benjamins.
And speaking of money, okay, here's, you know, Linda and I've been talking about this. Is you know this is your pet, your pet, you know, rant of the week is Charlie Sheen. Charlie Sheen, who is the highest paid television television person, he's doing, you know, he did 2.5 Men. He gets in all types of trouble, you know, with prostitutes, with drinking, drugs, and all this, and they keep keeping him on because one. They make a lot of money off that show. So then Sheen gets on a radio show, and by the way, it was an internet radio show, and calls the bosses. He said they go home to their ugly wives, their ugly children, and their ugly, ugly lives.
Well, CBS in a statement last night said it was pulling the plug.
Yeah.
His attempts, conduct, and condition. And if you look at his rantings online, he just says, like, of my abilities, hey, I got magic and poetry in my fingertips. I'm an F-18, bro, and I will destroy you in the air. You cannot tell me that isn't, like, somebody who's on,
he's on
some kind of acid, some kind of hallucinogenic. Things that he has just said that are, he called Thomas Jefferson a wimp. He went on
He called Thomas Jefferson a wimp? Okay, Sheen. I'm calling you out. Man. I'm calling you out.
Not the first star this has happened to.
You know what? This is, but he's been going on like this. Anyway, hey, we got less than a minute left, hon. Next week, we're going to start off with a guy that wrote a book, a SEAL. One of the first SEAL documents, you know, that's the Sierra Land, that type of SEAL. And wrote a book about his experiences in Vietnam. And we're going to have DR on. He's going to be talking about that. We've got Jay, the taxi, the yellow taxi man's on. We're going to be talking philosophy with Jay and what's going on.
So tonight we're going to be up at Anselmo's. Pat Karch and Bob Sendes will be there.
And don't forget, Sunday, 5
still
o'clock.
Available.
Tickets still available. Call down. There goes Linda's going to be there with the Rat Pack singing on stage.
At the convention center. So
just remember, the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.